Pierre, you're headed to the glittering lights of Vegas for game one. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
All right. Now, you'll have Vegas, Minnesota. So yeah. That one, so you got the prime NBC game, 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon?
On Sunday, yeah. And then Monday I've got Colorado, St. Louis. And then Tuesday I've got Islanders in Pittsburgh. And then Wednesday I've got Colorado and St. Louis. So, yeah, we got a lot going on.
Wow. No kidding. All right, now, how many, so you'll be in Vegas personally. How many ones are you going to be at personally?
Every other day.
Okay. All right. So you're flying back to New York, or
Back to Stanford, Connecticut.
Jeez. Okay. Well, good luck with all that. Let's.
We'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Colorado winning the West. How, at the end of the day, how big a deal do you think that is?
Oh, at altitude, it matters. I think for home ice, it really do. Now we'll see whether that translates or not, but I do think it matters, especially for them, and they're starting to get fans back in. And the one thing I'd say is, in Vegas, they want to try to get more fans in the building. And if they get more fans in the building, that changes the dynamic too. Now, I know Vegas is playing Minnesota, and I know Colorado is playing St. Louis. But I think most people would think that Vegas would win their first round and Colorado would win their first round. And then you get the matchup, obviously, that I think most people are expecting in the second round. Now, sometimes that doesn't happen. But I think home ice would matter because especially if you were playing Vegas with the fans that they potentially could have in their building could make a big difference. And for Colorado, altitude matters a lot.
Is Vegas, in the case of having to play Minnesota, my God, the record, Colorado advancing from there, is that path quite simply the most difficult to win a Stanley Cup this year, Pierre?
It could be. You know, the East isn't going to be any easier either, though. I would tell you, Pittsburgh and the Islanders, Washington, Boston, that doesn't get very easy either. So, yeah, but it's not easy. I would say that's very, very difficult, no question.
So Vegas, Minnesota, as you line that one up, that'll be your first series. I think a lot of people are, and because we're just not watching here, not paying as much attention. Certainly we're watching the Northern Division. But are people sleeping on Minnesota? Do you think do they have a chance at pulling an upset in this series?
Sure they do. 100% they do. They had an unbelievable amount of success against Vegas this year. They're 5-1-2, Minnesota was. Now, a lot of the games were really tight. They were one-goal games. They were tremendously tight in a lot of overtime games, too. But the truth is that Minnie's a very underrated team. Now, it's going to come down, like it usually does. If you're going to upset somebody, your goalie's got to be good. So Cam Talbot's going to have to be really good. Kaapo Kähkönen played last night, and he was no good against St. Louis. He was no good. There was a 3-0 lead for Minnesota, and he was just no good after the first period. So they're going to have to get good goaltending. They're going to have to get consistent offense. And the one thing I mean by consistent offense is it can't be their depth players that are going to bail them out. It's got to be their top guys. And, you know, they're going to have to get Kirill Kaprizov. He's going to have a big series. Matt Zuccarello is going to have a big series for them. Their top-end players are Victor Rask, their top-end guys, Marcus Johansson. They're going to have a big series for them.
In the case of Kaprizov, how do you think he matches up against Vegas' defense?
He's been pretty good against them the whole year, Sean. I think the one thing is that, again, that's why I stress their big guys have to show up because that Vegas defense, it's hard to forecheck them. You don't spend a lot of time in the Vegas zone in the offense because they close you out so quick. And they move the puck so well. So, I think for Minnesota more than anything else, if they don't have good puck possession or puck possession in their favor, then I think they're going to have a tough time against Vegas.
What's happened with Cam Talbot? He was a real good goaltender early on in Edmonton. Is simply getting out of the pressure of a Canadian market and at 33 years old, just a nice reset for him?
He's been very good. I mean, I don't know what's gone on except to say that I thought last year in the bubble for Calgary, he was solid. I really did. But I didn't think he was great. I thought he was solid. And then this year, I thought he was great. I thought he was really, really good. So probably just a reset more than anything else.
This will be a playoff unlike any other because these teams have all played each other more times than they ever would have before as everybody meets each other in divisional playoffs. So do you think there's the possibility, Pierre, that the series themselves will end up being a lot longer and a lot closer? Or do you think the opposite happens, that these teams know each other so well that another team, you know, gets on top early and just finishes them off right away?
I think we're going to have some really long series. I really do. I think Vegas, Minnesota could go 7 games. I think Colorado, St. Louis can go 6 games. Pittsburgh Islanders, I think, can go 7. Washington, Boston can go 7. I think we're going to have longer series. You know, Carolina and Nashville, it depends on what UC Saros does for Nashville, but I think Carolina can finish that quick. Florida, Tampa, I think it's going to go very long. Toronto, Montreal, I don't think will be very long. Edmonton, Winnipeg, I think will be longer. longer series, but it doesn't mean that, you know, obviously there's no guarantees, but I think most of them will be longer.
Do you point to the Washington-Boston series as, first of all, being entertaining, but being the one you'd say, based on the way they call it in the playoffs, we're going to be back to some old-school nasty hockey?
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones that will be old-school nasty, and they don't like each other to begin with, and now you've got the Chara element on the Washington side that makes it that much more interesting. So, yeah, no, I would say that that's going to be a lot of old school there. I think Florida and Tampa is going to be big-time old school.
Hmm. We had Bruce Cassidy on the show last hour, and I asked him, so I'll ask you. We have seen typically, Pierre, one style of hockey in the regular season, and it called usually one way. And in the playoffs, we get the exact opposite. It's the refs, no, I don't put the whistles away, but it's called a lot more loosely, and the games are a lot more physical. Do you expect that to be, again, what we see in this year's playoff?
Yes, sir. I do. I really do. I think that's just the way it is in playoff hockey. I've been doing it a long time, and it hasn't changed very much from year to year to year. So I would say that you can expect a lot of physical hockey, and I think you can expect some leniency when it comes to making calls.
No drum roll, but I'm actually taking the Habs to upset Montreal or Toronto, and here's a couple of things. A week off, do you not look at that and that reset and that large defense that's not overly mobile, that could be an advantage for the Montreal Canadiens come playoff time, Pierre?
If that happens, that would be amazing. It would be great for the Canadians and their fans. It'd be really tough for Toronto Maple Leafs and their
yeah.
fans, I'll tell you that.
But you at least going in, and I know a lot of other people, and I'm not just, you know, going against the grain, but a lot of people just think that it's going to be a real quick series.
Well, it can be. Here's the one thing, and I've been saying it since the start of the year. Montreal doesn't have the 5-on-5 offensive firepower to match Toronto.
Yeah.
Now, you don't win the series based on paper. You win it based on how you play on the ice. And Montreal's had a tough time dealing with, you know, some of those superstar players from Toronto. They've just got a deeper lineup. The one thing I will give Toronto credit for, and they deserve it in their team building aspect, is going out and getting TJ Brody helps solidify their defense. Finding a shutdown tandem with Justin Hall in particular, really evolving, I think, more than anything else. I think that's helped them a ton. So I don't know how easy it's going to be for Montreal, and I don't know how healthy their team is. Now, getting the extra time off that you pointed out, Sean's a good point. But the truth is that on paper, this should not be as close a series as maybe some people hope it will be.
Pittsburgh and the Islanders will start on Sunday. The Islanders swept them a couple of years ago, and the Islanders went deep last year. But a lot of people are kind of looking at the Islanders team this year and saying, Barry Trotz, great coach. Not quite sure that they're quite as strong. What's your feeling on the Islanders going into this series?
They have really good goaltending. Varlamov had a tremendous year, number one. Number two, their defense, they have a really good shutdown tandem. And Pulock and Pellock, those two guys are really good together. But I think the problem is they don't score as easily as people would like, and I think that creates a little bit of a identity crisis for them. They have to play a lot of one-goal games, which is great for them during the regular season, but it's not so great in the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Penguins scored 40 more goals during the regular season than the New York Islanders did. 40. So that's pretty significant. The thing about Pittsburgh that's changed a lot is their depth down the middle. When you go Crosby, Malkin, Jeff Carter, and then Teddy Bluger, that the Islanders can't match that, even though they have four solid centers. They don't have four centers like the Pittsburgh Penguins have. So that usually drives a series, is a thrust through the middle of the ice. But we'll see, because the goaltending, I think if you do the tail of the tape, the goaltending's on the side of the Islanders, not the side of the Penguins.
Very seldomly we see a general manager quit and a team gets better or continues along. Anything else kind of philosophically change with Hextall and Burke coming in versus Jimmy Rutherford?
I don't think so. I was around their team a lot. I didn't notice that. I just think, you know, obviously just different voice, but I'm not in their meeting, so I don't know. The story in Pittsburgh really has to be Mike Sullivan. He's got to be on everybody's ballot to be coach of the year. I would be shocked if he's not. You know, a lot of people thought he'd be the first coach fired this year. The job that he did there was phenomenal. It really was. And they dealt with a ton of injuries, over 300 man games lost to injury. So he did a fantastic job coaching that team.
Florida-Tampa is another series that a lot of people think is going to be really, really terrific. Yeah, everybody knows about Tampa. Why, and especially after the Ekblad injury, how has Florida been as good as they have been this year?
Great question. And it starts with probably the most improved defenseman. I think there are two guys in the league that really took their games up another level. One of them is Jonas Brodin in Minnesota. I thought his game was phenomenal. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. But when you watch Mackenzie Weegar play, he has completely gone to another level. I mean, that guy's played fantastic hockey, so that helped him overcome the loss of Ekblad. And also, Gustav Forsling has been really solid for them on defense, so that makes a difference. But what they've done, they're just a harder team to play against. Getting Patrick Hornquist made them harder to play against. Getting Carter Verhaeghe made them harder to play against. You know, Sam Bennett going down there makes them harder to play. They're a nasty team. They're not fun to play against. They got some really hard guys to play against.
Is Carter Verhaeghe one of the most underrated players in the National Hockey League?
He sure is. I mean, and the truth of the matter is he was injured this year at the end of the year, and he came back a little bit, I think, more quickly than most people thought. So that was really positive for him. But when you look at him and what he's been able to do, it's just phenomenal. Here's a guy that was drafted by Toronto, never really gets an opportunity to play there and make it there, and he kicks around the minor leagues forever and ever, and then gets an opportunity in Tampa and plays well on the Stanley Cup winning team, but is a depth player, and then he, you know, gets signed as a free agent, and all of a sudden, boom, it just exploded. So, yeah, the answer is yes.
My guy, Spencer Knight, 4-0. Drieger, outstanding season. Bobrovsky, I know it's your guy, Pierre. I'm having fun.
No,
but who do they start? Not Knight, but who do you think they'd go with, Drieger or Bobrovsky, to start the playoffs?
Very good question. I don't know the answer. Yeah. They've got it's a good dilemma to have.
Oh, yeah. Drieger's numbers, I mean, for
his
people.
Numbers are amazing.
2 goals against, basically. 14-6 and 3, 9-27. Wow.
I know. His numbers are really good. So I don't know what they do in goal, Spencer's going to be their goalie long-term.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of goalies, Bruce Cassidy told us, and this may have been out there, but I hadn't heard it, that Tuukka's going to start, of course, and they play every other day, but Swayman is dressing as the backup. What do you think about that?
Oh, he's outstanding. So the story on him is that people don't know this. Well, they do know it, but they don't pay attention to it because it's just Hockey East. But that guy was player of the year in Hockey East, and for a goalie to do that on a marginal team like the University of Maine was last year, is outstanding, number one. But number two, he beat out Spencer Knight. I'm not kidding you. Like, this guy's really good. He's really, really good.
Yeah, but, I mean, Yaro Halak's got playoff pedigree.
Yaro's had a tough time this year.
Yeah, okay. All right, there we go. New York Rangers have asked for permission to talk to Gerard Gallant. He had been a name that had been on, that everybody speculated would be in the mix. Do you look at him as a real solid contender for that job?
Yes.
And why do you think he would be the right choice for the Rangers?
I think there are other guys that are the right choice, too. There's a bunch of them. I don't think they're going to make a mistake. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are the right choice there. I really do. I'm not trying to skirt your question. But the truth is that Gerard's a really good communicator. He's done a real good job of coaching teams that have high-end skill. And he's got a lot of experience, both at the major junior level, as an assistant in the NHL, and also as a head coach in the NHL. So I think he'd be a good choice anywhere, whether it's New York or somewhere else. But I also think there are other guys who are going to be in the discussion.
We can usually track or see trends when guys get fired. I go back to Claude Julien in Jersey. I can't think of a coach twice, both in Florida and Vegas, where nobody saw it coming. If you're the New York Rangers, you're asking some questions about what on the surface looked very successful, but for teams thought was a change. In the case of Vegas, have been a better team under Pete DeBoer.
Well, that will be part of the process when they go through the interview. I mean, you've been through those interviews. You've probably conducted some of them. They're pretty intense. The questions are really forthright, and so you better have the right answers for them or you're not going to get the job.
All right, all good. Okay, we'll wrap it up on that note. I don't have a whole heck of a lot to tell you about because we'll hear from Pierre Dorion today, which will be interesting. We can chat with you about that on Monday. It'll always be a very interesting offseason in any market, but Pierre Dorion's got some interesting work, so we'll see what he has to say today and chat about with you on Monday. You'll be traveling all over the place, but game one for you is Vegas and Minnesota coming up on Sunday. Thanks for the time, as always. Safe travels, and we'll chat with you from somewhere on Monday morning.
Thanks a lot, JR. Sean, great having you back. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your friends and family, and stay safe.